We are studying Likutei Sichos. We're studying Likutei Sichos, Volume 11, the first essay on the portion of Mishpatim. It discusses the law of a Jew who sells himself into slavery to a fellow Jew, and the fact that after 6 years the person has to leave and he goes free. Torah doesn't like slavery. It doesn't like us to be slaves. If the person doesn't want to leave because he's enjoying the comfort of his master, he doesn't have to worry about making a living. Plus, in the interim, the master was allowed to marry him off to one of the women, so he enjoys his new wife. He doesn't want to leave her. He wants to stay on. Torah frowns upon it, but he gets a punishment for doing so. He can stay on, but his master takes him to the doorpost and pierces a hole into his ear as a sign of shame. That's the law. Now, there are two possibilities for this to happen. This can happen by self-imposed slavery, where a Jew is just down on his luck, and he doesn't want to bother making a living, so he decides just to become a slave. Or it can be court-imposed slavery, where somebody steals and he can't repay the debt, so the court imposes and sells him into slavery to cover his debt. But either way, whether it's self-imposed or court-imposed slavery, Torah says 6 years is okay, but that's enough. You got to go free. At the end of the 6 years, if you don't want to leave, you get your ear pierced. So the Rashi commentator on this verse, which says you should pierce his ear, it says three things. There's three sections to the Rashi. By the way, you can see this in the handout, which is available right below this link, if you want to follow. The three parts, first thing Rashi says is, well, which ear should you pierce? I would think that it's the right ear. I would have thought it's the left ear, but we actually decide, no, that it's the right ear. This is based on a Talmudic discussion, that because we find the discussion of a ritual related to the ear in the book of Leviticus with a mitzorah and the ritual of purification of a leper. And over there it says clearly that it's the right ear. Here it says also the word ear. So it must mean, we deduce from this, that here too it's the right ear. That's the first section of the Rashi. Second section of the Rashi is, one of the sages, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, states, why was the ear chosen from all the body parts to get this treatment? Because it's the ear that heard at Mount Sinai. God said, don't steal, and he went and stole. That's a case in the court-imposed slavery. Or it's the ear that heard at Mount Sinai. God says, I don't want you to be slaves to others. In effect, slaves to slaves. I want you to just be my slaves. And you went and sold yourself to slavery. That's in the case of self-imposed slavery. Either way, the ear heard my decree and violated it. That ear should be pierced. Third part of Rashi. Another sage, Rab Shimon, says, why was the door chosen of all places for his ear to be pierced against the doorpost? From all the parts in the home, because it's the doorpost and the door that bear witness to the fact that God crossed over our homes in Egypt when we put the blood in the doorpost and he proclaimed us free people. He essentially proclaimed, I don't want you to be slaves to others. I want you just to be my slaves. And it's that doorpost that bear witness that this person is violating it and he wants to be a slave. And that's why it's done at the doorpost. So those are the three sections of the Rashi. To recap, section one is, which ear is it going to be, the right or the left? And we conclude it's the right. Section two of the Rashi is, why the ear and not anything else? Because the ear heard at Mount Sinai and violated it. The third section of the Rashi, why the doorpost of all parts in the home? Because the doorpost that bears witness to God freeing us from slavery in Egypt. So the Rebbe asks, generally I'm going to zero in on three questions. Question one is the flow of the Rashi. Why does Rashi put together these three seemingly unrelated things? Rashi is not just a collection of commentary from classic sources of the Talmud and the Medrash. As you might know, every verse in Torah has any number of commentary. Rashi is not just a collection of that. He has a stated goal, and he only deals with one question at a time, and he's only dealing with real questions in the text. So, in other words, what's the purpose of this entry of Rashi? If it's a discussion about which ear, so leave it alone. Why do we go into the other section two and section three? What's the connection? That's question one. Question two is, what does Rashi say in the first section? A whole discussion if it's the right ear and the left ear. To put it simply, on the Rashi level of study, why does that matter? Again, Rashi is not here just to discuss every possible legality. For that, you have the Talmud and other commentaries. It says pierce the ear, pierce the ear. And why is there a discussion that I would think it should be the left ear, but instead it's the right ear? Why would I think it's the left ear? And what do I gain by knowing it's the right ear? How is that helpful to the understanding of text? And finally, question three. In the middle section of the Rashi, he told us, why are we boring the guy's ear? Because it was the ear that heard at Sinai, don't steal or don't sell yourself into slavery. And that's why the ear gets pierced as a punishment. Says the Rebbe, a very simple question. If you're piercing his ear as a punishment for not listening to God's rule and violating it with becoming a slave or becoming a thief, why are you only piercing his ear now after 6 years because he doesn't want to leave? You should have pierced his ear 6 years ago when he violated those rules in the first place. In fact, we should probably pierce the ear from any common thief, not only a thief who happened to be sold into slavery and now wants to stay on. We should, for that matter, pierce the ear of anyone who does any sin in Torah. If the idea of piercing the ears is just to make a statement, listen here, buddy, God commanded and you didn't listen, you should do that by every single sin. Why do we only do it by this case of this type of slave, of this type of person who stole or sold himself into slavery, and why don't we do it initially at the time of the sin? We only do it 6 years later when he refuses to leave. And it's further curious that when we finally pierce his ear after the 6 years when he refuses to leave, presumably we're piercing it because of a violation that's taking place now. He doesn't want to leave. He's embracing slavery. So we're piercing his ear for embracing the slavery. But if you look at the language of Rashi, it's not so. We're not piercing his ear because he's embracing slavery now. We actually, the way Rashi reads, we're piercing his ear because of what he did 6 years, because of what he did 6 years earlier that he stole or voluntarily went ahead then and sold himself into slavery. So the Rebbe's question here, so to speak, is which way is it? Is the piercing of the ear because of a violation of the sin of slavery or thievery? It should have been done 6 years ago. If the piercing of the ear is because of a violation of staying longer than the 6 years, and that's why it's done now, so it should state that that's the reason. Why do we have it both ways? We only pierce his ears after the 6 years, but the stated reason for that punishment is because of what he did 6 years prior. So we have three questions to tackle. I'm going to quickly recap them. Question one is on the general flow of this Rashi. What's the connection between part one, two, and three of the Rashi? They seem unrelated. Question two is, why is it so important on the Rashi level of study to discuss which ear is pierced? And why would we assume it's the left, then we conclude it's the right, then what's the relevance of that on this level of study? And question three, what is really the essence of this punishment? Is it for the slavery, the voluntary slavery or thievery that happened 6 years earlier? Or is it for the fact that he's not leaving after 6 years? We're getting mixed signals. We're not piercing his ears at the beginning. We're only doing it now. But we're doing it now for what he did then. Which one is it? So the Rebbe answers all of these questions with adding one more general question, which puts the entire sikha, the entire essay, into context of what Rashi's real purpose is with this entry. And with answering that one larger question, all of those three above mentioned questions will go to the wayside, will be cleared up. The Rebbe said there's something much more central that's bothering Rashi. Remember, his stated goal is to explain the literal purpose of text, the literal meaning of text. When a person reads this text, he has a very simple question. Why are we coming down so hard on a person who didn't want to leave his master after 6 years because he stole or because he was sold himself into slavery? Obviously, we assume that a person who fell so low to steal or sell himself into slavery is because he was coming out to hard times. So let's give him a break. Why are we coming down so hard on him? Obviously, he's having a hard time making a living. It's a shanda what he did. It's a terrible thing. But why, of all sins in the Torah, do we come down on him and give him a permanent blemish to walk away around with a hole in his ear? He's a little bit of a nebuch. We have to have a little rachmonis. The guy fell to hard times. So why are we being so hard on him? That's the general question that's bothering Rashi. When a person studies this text on a simple level, I have this Jewish slave who obviously became a slave because he had hard times, either because he couldn't make a living or because he stole because he couldn't make a living. He was having a hard time. He's a poor guy. He's got bad luck. And now he doesn't want to leave, and we're coming down on him with this permanent blemish of shame. Why? He's a sinner, but he's a sinner with a good excuse. We should cut him some slack. So the Rebbe says to address this, Rashi brings in a Talmudic discussion about which ear is pierced. Now there's a thought process that says, why do we pierce the ear? Because maybe because of the aforementioned reason, he didn't do anything so terrible. I mean, he stole or sold himself to slavery, but he's down on his luck. Let's be nice to him. So we pierce his ear. It's a minor problem because people would pierce their ears voluntarily too. So that is the first thought process that Rashi has. Why do we pierce the ears? To minimize the punishment. We're punishing him with something that a lot of people do voluntarily too. Even in biblical times, the Bible is full of references to ear piercings. But if that were the case, says Rashi, we would pierce his left ear. We know that in Judaism, it's always the right side is the stronger one. If we're just looking to minimize the punishment, choose the left side. Why blemish his right ear, which is considered the stronger ear, the more prominent ear? But because of the Talmudic teaching that we actually have to pierce the right ear, we see here that this is the punishment is not just, is not in order to minimize it. We don't pierce the ear because we're trying to be nice to the guy because he's down on his luck. We're actually being tough on the guy. If we're being tough on the guy, now we need to understand what's the purpose of this punishment. Hence comes the second section of the Rashi. So why is the ear being pierced? You see, friends, the flow? The first part of the Rashi is a discussion of which ear, because it's really a discussion of a greater question. Are we trying to be nice to the guy or trying to be tough on the guy? Because it's the right ear that concludes that it's really with being tough on him. But why? He's down on his luck. And why with the right ear? Why are we being tough? So for here we come to the second section of the Rashi, which is now a natural flow after the first part. Why are we choosing the ear then? If it's not in order to be easy on him. So here we say the reason we're choosing the ear, the ear heard at Sinai, the prohibition of stealing and of voluntary slavery, and therefore we're punishing him. He deserves it for being tough on him. But the question still remains, why are we being so tough on a guy who sold himself into slavery because he was down on his luck? Or stole because he was down on his luck. And even now after the 6 years when he doesn't want to leave, still we could understand his hesitation to leave. He married this woman, he loves her. Maybe he has children, he doesn't want to leave. So why are we being so tough on him? It's clear we're being tough on him because we're piercing the right ear. We're seeing him as a not good guy. But why? He has a good excuse. He was on tough times 6 years ago, and now he wants to stay with his wife and kids. For this reason, Rashi points out that actually we pierce him now after the 6 years because of what he did 6 years ago. The explanation is this, and try to follow this is the essence of the Rebbe's thought process in this essay. The Rebbe says we don't pierce the ears of a regular person who does a sin or of a normal thief. Because yeah, maybe he's doing the sin because he's tempted or because he's having a weak moment. He's down on his luck. It's not fair to give him a permanent blemish. Even this person who sold himself to slavery 6 years ago, we didn't pierce his ear because he's down on his luck. However, 6 years later, if after 6 years he doesn't want to leave, and he's not ashamed with the title of a slave, which really means a thief, and he's embracing this permanently, aha, this is now an indication that when he did the act 6 years ago of stealing or of allowing himself to be sold as slavery, it's not really because he was down on his luck. He just missed the whole message of Sinai. So based on this, the Rebbe explains the beauty of this, of the middle section of the Rashi. We don't punish him for what he did 6 years ago, because 6 years ago, we don't know, maybe he was just down on his luck. Just like we don't punish any thief with this, or we don't punish any sinner. We don't know why a person sinned. He had a weak moment. Everybody's got an evil inclination. We're not going to give him a permanent blemish for that. Conversely, even after 6 years, we're not going to punish him because of the fact that he wants to stay on now. He has a good excuse now too. But it's the combination of both. The combination of the original bad behavior combined with the fact that 6 years later he says, yeah, I'm good with it. I'm liking it. I'm staying on. That's an indication that no, 6 years ago when he stole or sold himself into slavery, it was not just because he was down on his luck, but because he missed the message of Sinai that God wants us to be honest, free people. It's a brilliant way the Rebbe is reading the Rashi. We have to wait 6 years. This is the only time in Torah where someone gets such a punishment. No other sin do you get a permanent blemish for life. No other thief do you get a permanent blemish for life. Only a person who stole, maybe he was down on his luck or whatever, or sold himself to slavery. But now 6 years have elapsed, and he still hasn't developed a negative feeling to being a thief and being a slave. And he says, I like this, I'm staying. We now realize there's something wrong with this fellow. His thought process is messed up. And we say when he stole 6 years ago or sold himself to slavery 6 years ago, he did it because he just didn't care. He didn't hear the message of Torah. He didn't hear the message of Sinai. And only in that case do we pierce his ear. So based on this, friends, we answer all the three questions that the Rebbe asked. We answer number one, what's the flow of the Rashi? What's the connection between the first section of the Rashi, which is a discussion of the right ear and the left ear, with the other two sections of the Rashi? Because we also answer, why are we discussing which ear? And we also discuss the third question, why is this punishment so strange that it only happens in this case after the 6 years, but retroactively for what he did 6 years ago? And all these three questions are answered in one lump sum by answering the general question, why are we being so hard on this person? He's down on his luck. I'm recapping the entire thing. Why are we so tough on this person to give him this shame? He's down on his luck. That's the general question that Rashi's addressing. And we say, listen here, when the Torah, so here let's go in the order of the Rashi. Section one is a discussion, which ear? If it will be the left ear, it would mean to minimize the punishment. He's down on his luck, so you do the left ear. Just piercing an ear, it's not a big deal. But by Torah stating that you do the right ear, it indicates that we're not trying to give him an excuse for being down on his luck. He did the wrong thing, we're being tough on him. So that answers the first section. Once we know the reason for this piercing is actually to be tough on him, not to be lenient, why are we being tough on him? And why the ear? So now we need the second section of the Rashi. Why the ear? Because the ear heard God speak in Sinai and violated the rule. So we understand. And then the third section of Rashi, the door gave testimony to God freeing us from Egypt. So we understand the answer to the flow of the three sections of the Rashi. And we also understand the third question that the Rebbe had asked. Why is this punishment only to someone who stole after 6 years retroactive for what he did before? Because only in that case can we hold it against him. We can't give him the excuse that he's down on his luck. Because 6 years later, if he's still not ready to live the good life and the honest and decent in life and life as a free being, he obviously had something wrong with him 6 years ago. And he needs to have a total rehabilitation of his thought process. Just going to add that the Rebbe adds just a side note. Based on this, the Rebbe adds, why does Rashi wax poetic in the language? We pierce his ear because his ear heard at Mount Sinai. Don't steal and don't be a slave. Rashi is not usually into poetry. He should say the ear that heard the rule. Don't steal. Why Mount Sinai? Says the Rebbe that Rashi is helping us understand again the central problem of this whole thing. How could we be tough on this guy? He's a Nebuch. And the answer is, but you know, God told us at Sinai, we were all witnesses to Sinai, and Sinai included all of Judaism. God told us at Sinai, don't steal and don't be a slave. I want you to be free people and I want you to be honest people. So you heard it straight from God, so to speak. Now who's God? God is the one who provides our needs. So the Torah is sort of saying to a person, there isn't an excuse for being down on your luck and doing the wrong thing. It is God who told us to be honest and free people. It is God who provides. And therefore, meditate on that, and you should hold yourself up to a higher standard. So it's for this reason that Rashi, in this case, does wax poetic, so to speak, and say it's the ear that heard at Mount Sinai. He doesn't just say the ear that heard, or the person that heard. The ear that heard at Sinai these rules and broke them, that's the ear that's pierced. Because with that poetic expression, so to speak, he's further helping us understand what his whole goal in this entry is, to help us understand why we're being so tough on this guy who's down on his luck, because he didn't get the message of Sinai. And part of the message of Sinai is to do the right thing. And part of the message of Sinai is to know that God is in charge and takes care of us. And therefore, don't worry. The real sin is that he worried and didn't have trust in God. And that was revealed only after 6 years later, when he still embraces that lifestyle and has not grown up from the experience. As a takeaway, on a personal level, in our own lives, the Rebbe says the 6 years and the 7th year that he has to become free is akin to the 6 days of the week and the 7th day of Shabbos. You might say the 6 days of the week, we're all in a sense like slaves, we got to work hard. And the 7th day we stop and we dedicate ourselves as free people, servants of God alone. A day of prayer, a day of Torah study, a day of family, a day of joy. What the Rebbe is essentially saying is we can understand that for the 6 days you're behaving like a slave and you're working really hard. I get it. But when is that acceptable? Only if when the 7th day comes and you proudly march away from that slave servitude. At the minute Shabbos comes, you forget everything from the work. You are totally Shabbistic, totally calm, totally collected, totally in a different place of serenity and peace and of spirituality and of family. If, however, the Shabbos comes and you're still obsessing about your work week, that shows retroactively that the whole week you had the wrong priority system and you weren't just obsessed with work because that's how life works, you got to make a living. You're obsessed with work because you lost your moral compass. You lost the person, the raison d'etre, the purpose of your life, which is not just work to make a living, but to live. Family, Torah, God, spirituality. You lost that moral compass. And therefore, the way I read the Sicha, the end of the talk, the Rebbe is giving a direct parallel between the fact that only the 7th year, the slave not wanting to leave, is an indication of all 6 years that he had the wrong approach. Similarly, in our lives, the way we behave on Shabbos, if we're totally removed from our work week, that's a good indication that even the work week was really just another form of serving Hashem.